So my name is Jackie Hocking. I'm the founder of a company called VS Story, which stands for Vision Strategy Storytelling. We're a storytelling company based here in Singapore that tries to give visibility for visionary companies, which means we do communications, video, and all kinds of storytelling to give visibility to incredible founders and other CEOs. So my background was in documentary filmmaking. I was very passionate about social and environmental issues, and I saw that actually we have a lot of solutions already. A lot of the solutions for social and environmental issues, solutions for gender equality, they exist. The problem is scale, and people don't have enough visibility or they haven't heard about these solutions. So I wanted to start a storytelling company to bring these solutions, you know, give them more awareness and to be able to give them visibility. So I started my company because I couldn't find another company I wanted to work for. I guess the journey has been quite difficult in a way, starting a company when we did, but it's also been super rewarding to be able to see how the team has not only, you know, survived, but actually thrived. And throughout COVID, we actually innovated a lot and ended up doing better business in 2020 than we had done in 2019. So yeah, it hasn't been easy, but it's definitely been worthwhile.
Would you say you had any specific challenges because you're a female founder or in your experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think the two biggest challenges I had, you know, being a female founder, but also being a younger female founder. When I first started my company, I was, you know, early 20s. And that was quite difficult to overcome and kind of get that respect. And I think also being a woman, there were plenty of business meetings. I would actually bring in my colleagues, you know, older, more senior, you know, Caucasian men. I would bring these people into the meetings with me because I knew that they would, you know, get more respect in the meetings, which is quite sad, but it was just a reality of sales at that time. And so I feel like there's definitely a bias. However, it's getting better. I've seen it improve over time. And I don't know if that's because my confidence is building or if it's also societal expectations are also improving, but it's definitely more difficult to get respect. Sometimes, for example, if I'm with my male colleague, you know, people will not look me in the eye and they'll direct all of their questions to my male colleagues without realizing that I'm the CEO. Very often in email threads, it's Mr. They think that I'm Mr. because of, you know, the position that I have in the company. So I think that's just, you know, one of these things that we slowly have to break through. So yeah, it's definitely been difficult, but thankfully I'm supported by a lot of other great female founders and I have a lot of incredible female mentors that have helped me build up my confidence and to not let that hold me back. Having a network is everything. In my opinion, having a network is probably the biggest or most valuable asset that you can have as an entrepreneur. I think that you grow as fast as your network. For me, that meant that I have constantly been networking throughout my career, trying to find the right people that will support me. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're just networking with people that love what you do. You also have to network with people that will challenge you, finding new types of clients or new types of customers. I'm constantly expanding my network. I think it's really important. I think finding other female entrepreneurs so we can learn off each other's experiences. For example, access to finance, you know, working with investors, things like that. In the beginning, I didn't have much experience in this field. And so surrounding myself by other female entrepreneurs that have scaled their companies, that have received investment, that have, you know, done, built those relationships before, that was really, really important for me to learn from. Also, even things like hiring, firing, growing your team, it's really great if you can have other female founders to guide you. I think just from my personal experience, I think there's a certain type of leadership style that I have, which might be different to my male colleagues. As a social enterprise, we identify as a social enterprise, which means we care about our staff a lot and benefits. And I feel like there's an empathy there that I've seen in a lot of female founders that I share. And my male colleagues might be more, you know, financially focused or profit-driven or growth-centric. Whereas for me, I do care about profit. I care about growth, but I also really deeply care about my team. And I want to make sure we have good paternity leave, maternity leave, all of these kinds of benefits that I've seen, you know, a lot of female founders put as a first priority alongside their growth and profit. So it's been great to find other entrepreneurs that have that same value system and can guide me on how do you strike that balance between having empathy, taking care of your team, but also having, you know, being really strong as a leader, and not, you know, being taken for granted, or how do you kind of enforce that balance between keeping your feminine side of leadership, which is empathy, compassion, networking, community building, at the same time as still running a really profitable and high performance business. One thing I see is that sometimes women undervalue themselves, or they're quite shy or hesitant to really talk about how brilliant they are or how brilliant their ideas are. And I think that's something that I try to emphasize a lot, which is when you're putting your pitch together or your story together, to make sure that you're really showing the value that you can bring and you're not shying away from how great you are as a leader, as an entrepreneur. I think that I've seen, you know, even in my own partner, you know, sometimes there's this innate confidence in my male colleagues that just have this expectation that they can raise capital, right? Like they're going to start a company and they're going to raise capital. It's like an expectation. Whereas for women, I feel like we've been kind of programmed that that's not what we deserve and not what we can do. So I think when it comes to pitching, my advice for women is to not be afraid to aim high in terms of what you can do and focus your energy on building your confidence so that, you know, that you're valuing yourself correctly. When it comes to putting together your pitch deck, I think it's really important to be true to who you are. Don't try to copy other people's, you know, passion or... You have to be genuine to who you are. I think that's one of the most important things. Investors will invest in people more than the idea. So you need to come across as being genuine to who you are and not be afraid of, you know, having that kind of feminine leadership style of running the business. And maybe one thing that's really important is making sure that you find the right kind of investor. You want to find someone that has the same values as you and is aligned with your values. So if that means that you need to find an investor that values B Corp, you know, like we're a certified B Corporation, which means we use our business as a force for good, there are plenty of investors that will only invest in B Corporation, whereas other investors will see it as a waste of money. So you have to find the investors that are aligned with your vision and your mission. Our company, we're based in Singapore, but we do work globally, and I've met quite a lot of female founders across the world. I'd say that every region is different. Good and bad on both sides. I think, you know, if you look at Southeast Asia, I think we have some countries where like women are really running business. You look at countries like the Philippines, I don't know the statistics top of mind, but I'm pretty sure the Philippines, most of the SMEs and businesses are really being led by women. So it's really interesting in Southeast Asia how there's this huge growth of female leadership and entrepreneurship. But at the same time, when it comes to investment, obviously, you know, sometimes we're far behind. So I would say that it's not necessarily better or worse in Asia or than in other parts of the world. But I will say that it's very, very different. Founders, people that identify as women founders here in Asia, I find to be much more conservative, much more focused on building revenue and building solid businesses. Where when I've met female founders, say, for example, in the U.S., they're much more similar to, you know, other peers that are just focused on growth and profits. But I find it very interesting how a lot of the female founders personally that I know from my experience, they're focused on building good businesses based off revenue. And that's a really, really interesting difference that what I've seen globally even, that a lot of women tend to focus on revenue. I know for us, we were not even looking at investment in the beginning. We were just looking to build a great business based off an opportunity that we saw in the market. And so our entire focus was on building revenue and building those client relationships and growing a solid business. And that for us worked really well. And it wasn't until we were ready to expand that we started exploring, looking what it could look like as an M&A or getting out external investment. So I think that's one of the biggest differences that I see. Yeah, I mean, of course, being part of the UBS Accelerator with CEO, which I think is now renamed as Corralis, if I'm not wrong. So the Corralis and UBS Accelerator has been super helpful for us. I think the biggest value of being part of an accelerator is really the network, meeting like-minded peers, being able to grow and learn from each other, being able to share our vulnerabilities and our mistakes, I think everyone will tell you that the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur is how lonely it is because, you know, you don't really have that many people who understand what you're going through. It's a very stressful and emotionally intense experience to basically have a baby, this company that you own. So I think having access to that network is, for me, the most valuable thing of an accelerator program. And sharing, you know, skills and learning from one another, I think is super valuable. I do think that, you know, accelerators that can really help women build their confidence and be able to connect with one another, perhaps open new markets to something really interesting as well. For me, being part of the accelerator with the Corrales or CEO, being part of that accelerator was great to be able to be exposed to female entrepreneurs on the other side of the world and hearing the challenges that they face. We stayed connected. I know that there was one of the mentors that joined the program. She was helping with doing the business model, the financial business model. And for us as a revenue-based business, that's something that we're always curious about, this kind of different types of pricing models. And so she was great in, you know, even outside of the accelerator, helping connect with us. So I think really finding these connections is great. Getting access to people that we perhaps wouldn't have thought of before is a fantastic opportunity for any female founder. So I'd highly recommend any founder to, you know, join the networks or available accelerators in your communities. Advice to women. I meet so many women that have their kind of 9-to-5 kind of day job, and they, every time I catch up with them or I meet these people, they say, oh, I wish I could do what you're doing, but I could never do that. And the first thing I always ask them is why. Like, there is nothing stopping you from being an entrepreneur. Anyone who has the grit and determination can become an entrepreneur, and we need more women to step up. And I would also like to say for people that, for women that are entrepreneurs, is that you don't have to always listen to the advice of your male peers. If you have a different style of leadership, if you don't want to be profit first, you want to be people first, you can do that. So I feel like it's really important to, for people that are not yet entrepreneurs to know, or women that want to become entrepreneurs, there's nothing stopping you. It really is possible. All you need is to reach out and find other women like me or other entrepreneurs to support you, and we'll all be there cheering you on when you're ready.